John 17 and verse 17 reads, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Nobody today was an eyewitness to the origin of the world and the beginning of life. Therefore, the answer to the questions, where did the earth come from, and how did life begin, must be derived from evidence available today. The same observable evidence is available to all. The conclusions you have come to about the origin of life are based upon the faith through which you view the evidence. Whether or not you want to admit it or not, the debate about the earth's origin and the beginning of life is a faith issue, not a science issue. Every human has made a faith choice about their origin. What is your faith in? Is your faith the wisest choice? This morning we will briefly consider seven basic faith systems that humans trust to answer life's most important question. This morning, what faith system do you believe in? Faith system number one, we can call biblical creationism. Biblical creationism. Biblical creationism is the belief that the God who is revealed in the Bible created everything from nothing by the word of his mouth in six literal days. It may be surprising for you to find out, but the Angus Reid poll in 2007 discovered that 22% of Canadians believe in biblical creationism. Biblical creationism is built upon the word of God. We read John 17, 17 that says, "Thy word is truth." 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." The Bible claims to be God-breathed, God-inspired. Psalms 119, verses 151 and verse 152 read, "Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever." Biblical creationism is built on the authority of an omnipotent God who revealed himself to us through the Word of God. To deny the Genesis account of creation is to deny the authority of the Bible in every other question of life. If the Bible is not right on page one, if the Bible is left up to popular opinion, then the rest of the Bible must be judged just the same way. Either God is an authority on where we came from, or He's not authority. He's not an authority at all. But this morning, if biblical creationism is not your faith, if that is not your belief system, if that is not where you find answers to the two great questions, where did the earth come from and where did life begin, or how did life begin, you must deny, to deny the Bible, you must first disprove several things. You must disprove the Bible's prophetic perfection. There are so many prophetic truths that have been revealed in Scripture. You also have to deny the person, the work, and the teachings of Jesus Christ. To deny the Bible, you have to deny that Christ existed. You have to deny that He is not God. You have to deny that all of the miracles were a big acting play, a big farce. You have to deny the person of Christ. You have to deny the supernatural history of the preservation of the Bible. The Bible is an amazing book. There's no other book like the Bible. And yet it's been attacked by more. It's been attacked by more people than any other book in history. And yet it stands still as the Word of God. If you're going to deny biblical creationism, you have to deny the cause of Christ that has affected millions of humans through the ages. Jesus is the great cause that has changed lives for the ages. God has taken drunks and made them sober. God has taken prostitutes and made them pure. God has taken thieves and made them honest. To deny the Bible, you have to deny the great cause of Christ that has affected millions of humans through the ages. So faith system number one is biblical creationism. It's based upon the facts of the written Word of God. The second faith system is faith in the unknown God. Faith in the unknown God. There is a movement that is gaining popularity and strength, especially since the mid to late 90s. It is called the Intelligent Design Movement. The Intelligent Design Movement can be defined as a theory which holds that certain features of living things were designed by an intelligent cause as opposed to being formed through purely natural means. The intelligent design theory does not name the intelligent cause, and it does not claim that everything is designed, thus allowing for evolution and natural causes to play a role. This faith system, the intelligent design movement, reminds me of the Athenians that Paul preached to on Mars Hill. If you have your Bible with me today, turn to Acts chapter number 17. Paul preached to a group of people who believed in the unknown God. And that's exactly what the intelligent design movement believes in. They look at the complexity of the cell, or they look at the finely tuned universe, and they have to conclude this couldn't have happened by accident. There has to be an intelligent cause behind it. But they do not believe that this intelligent cause is intelligent enough to communicate with human beings. Or they do not believe that this intelligent cause is interested in human beings. Look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." They worshipped an unknown God. Verse 24, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. There were those in Athens who worshipped at the altar of the unknown God. And the intelligent design movement, they worship at the altar of the unknown God. The intelligent design movement have observed the complexity of the cell. And last week we spoke for many minutes on the subject of DNA and the complexity of DNA. The complexity of the human genome is utterly amazing. And the DNA of a human cell is the blueprint for your entire body. This phenomenon, which has only been seen by eye in recent years, has been revealed in Scripture for thousands of years. In the book of Psalms, chapter 139, listen to what the psalmist wrote. Either the psalmist was inspired by God, or he had a super high power microscope. And we know he didn't have a super high power microscope. But in Psalms 139, verse 13, it says, "For thou hast possessed me, my reins; thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in the secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." The Bible seems to indicate that God has a book. And in that book, all of the genetic information for every human being is recorded. And somehow God has implanted that genetic information into each of ourselves, which makes each human being unique, and upon which each human being has been built. The blueprint of life. It's no wonder the psalmist wrote, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto them. O God, how great is the sum of them." Well, we learned last week that in a very basic bacteria, there's 320,000 DNA letters. 320,000 DNA letters in a basic bacteria. If we could count how many letters are in our genes, are in our DNA, I believe the psalmist was correct when he said, "God, we can't add up the sum of your thoughts toward us. We cannot add up. It's too high a number." The intelligent design movement has also observed and investigated our finely tuned universe, and have concluded that there must be an intelligent designer. But they have not considered the evidence that declares that Jesus Christ is the Creator. You know, I believe it's day 4 in the week of creation that God put the sun, moon, and stars in the sky. On day 4. Now, astrobiologist Guillermo Gonzalez wrote a paper, I believe it was called Wonderful Eclipses. And in his study of the solar eclipse of the sun, he was amazed by its precision. For the moon to eclipse the sun, There's two mathematical things that have to happen. And when it was investigated, the moon, the sun is 400 times larger than the moon, but it is equally 400 times farther away from the earth than the moon is. That is why the moon can go directly between the sun and the earth and block out all the sun's light. You know, the evolutionists say it's just coincidence. The intelligent design movement says it can't be coincidence. Well, this discovery put Mr. Gonzalez to study what is required, what is necessary for a planet to be able to sustain life. And they discovered 20 factors that must be present for a planet to be able to sustain life. I've listed 6 of them. That's all that my mind could absorb. And I can't absorb these that well, but a planet must have water. And as they've searched the solar system, they can't find water on other planets. Not only that, there must be the Earth must be within the habitable zone. In other words, it has to be the right distance from its star. Because if the planet is too close to the star, we all fry. Apparently, if Earth was 5% closer to the sun, our average temperature would be 900 degrees Fahrenheit, and that's pretty hot. And if our planet was 40% farther away, we'd all freeze to death, and there would be no chance of life. Another amazing thing about Earth is that it has a thin crust. Now, this information kind of went over my head, but because it is a thin crust, the iron core of the Earth can project a magnetic field or a field around the Earth that protects the Earth and shields the Earth from destructive things within the solar system. Another thing a planet must have to sustain life, it must have a transparent atmosphere. We can look through our atmosphere at the heavens. As they search other planets, they don't find many planets that have a transparent atmosphere. It's necessary to sustain life. We also have a large moon. And that moon stabilizes the axis of our Earth. And it also regulates the tidal forces of our oceans. If we did not have a moon, our oceans, they couldn't sustain life. They'd die. Not only that, there has to be the perfect size star. If our star was any smaller, then our Earth would have to be closer to circle it. And apparently, if our Earth was closer to the star, it would mess up the rotation of our Earth. Instead of the world rotating around the sun like this, our Earth would lock in one place and would rotate around the star, and only one side of the Earth would face the sun. That would mean one thing: very hot on one side of the Earth and very cold on the other side of the Earth. And they doubt if a planet like that could sustain life. You see, it was believed by most astrologers that the Earth was just a mediocre Earth, a mediocre planet. Because in the universe, scientists have estimated that there are 10,000 billion stars. So many scientists think, well, if there's that many stars, there must be another planet somewhere around one of those stars that can sustain life. I'd like to ask you for a second, can you wrap your mind around 10,000 billion? I had to call Brother Frank yesterday just to find out how many zeros that is. But that's 10 to the 22nd power. You know how big a number that is? Well, to count to 1 billion, Mr. Kennedy, if you start right now, you're 30 years old, right? When you're 65, you'd be done counting to 1 billion if you counted every second. And when you look up into the heavens with the high-powered telescopes, 10,000 billion billion. I want to know which scientist counted those and why I should believe him. I know there's laws and rules where they come up with those numbers, but it's an amazing number. It's an amazing number. But what these intelligent design scientists have discovered, that although there are billions of stars, the chances of having a planet that have all of these factors, the numbers are even higher than that. The probability of that, the numbers are even higher than that. The intelligent design movement believe in intelligence, able to design, but not able or not interested to communicate with human beings. The movement stands one step short of really being intelligent. They worship an unknown God. And you see, whether you believe in no God or an unknown God, there is no moral responsibility. Because if you don't know who the God is, then how are we going to know what we should do and what we should not do? The moral responsibility is no different for the intelligent design scientist or for the evolutionary scientist. There's no moral authority. One believes in no God, one believes in an unknown God. But they can live their life any way they want it. Because who is their authority? They don't know. So we've looked at faith system number one, biblical creationism, built upon an infinite God and His written Word. We look secondly at faith in the unknown God, or the intelligent design movement. And then thirdly this morning, let's consider faith in chance. Faith in chance, or naturalism. Naturalism is a philosophical position that all phenomena can be explained in terms of natural causes and laws. In its broadest and strongest sense, naturalism is the metaphysical position that nature is all there is, and all basic truths are truths of nature. Now, what would you think of the intelligence of a statistician? What does a statistician do? They crunch numbers. They find out probabilities. I don't know what they do because I can't really understand what they do, but I know they're smart and I know they love numbers. But what would you think of the intelligence of a statistician who sold his $700,000 Burnaby home that was paid for and purchased 700,000 lottery tickets? Knowing before he bought the lottery tickets that he has only a 5% chance of winning the lottery. I think you would agree with me. Although he's a statistician, he's not very smart. In a typical 6 from 49 lottery, 6 numbers are drawn from 49. And if the 6 numbers on a ticket match the number drawn, the ticket holder is a jackpot winner. This is true regardless of the order in which the numbers are drawn. The odds of being a jackpot winner are approximately 1 in 14 million. To put these odds in context, suppose one of you buys one lottery ticket per week. Well, it'll only take you 13,983,816 weeks, or roughly 269,000 years, to guarantee a win in the lottery. in the 250,000 years of play, one would expect to win the jackpot only once. Or if one person bought a ticket, so, okay, I can't wait that long to win the lottery. Okay, so you're a little bit more aggressive. You're going to buy one ticket every second of every day for 1 year. One would win the jackpot on an average of 2.25 times. 1 second of every minute of every hour of every day for 1 year. You bought a lottery ticket, you'd win it twice. There are those in the scientific community that have labored all their life looking through microscopes and telescopes and have discovered for themselves the complexities of life and the universe. And in the face of ridiculously high probabilities, have chosen to put their faith in blind chance. Kind of like that statistician selling his house and buying 700,000 lottery tickets. But even worse. 10,000 times worse in stupidity. The probability of the universe and life originating by only natural causes is exponentially higher than the odds of winning the lottery. And yet there are many that put their faith in chance. It's a faith system. Don't let scientists fool you to make you think that it's observable. They cannot observe evolution. They cannot even count all the stars. So we've seen faith system number one, biblical creationism. Faith system number two, intelligent design. Faith system number three, naturalism or faith in chance. Faith system number four is faith in scholarship or man's wisdom. In the online survey by Angus Reid Poll, 3 in 5 Canadians, or 59%, agree that human beings evolved from less advanced life forms over millions of years. Younger Canadians and those living in households earning $100,000 or more a year, and those with university education, are more likely to strongly believe in evolution. The poll recorded that those with a university degree, 70% of the time, believed in evolution. You know, there's a scripture in Romans chapter 1 that says this: professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You see, there's a lot. How many people in this room have spent in the last year more than 24 hours looking through a telescope or a microscope? Not one person. So if you're an evolutionist, your faith is not in what you've observed or what you've studied. Your faith is in someone with a PhD behind their name. But remember, that PhD behind the name, for them to believe in evolution, is like the statistician selling his $700,000 house and buying lottery tickets with all of it to win the lottery with only a 5% chance. That evolutionist, he knows the probabilities are high, ridiculously high, but yet they choose to put their faith in chance rather than faith in God. You, the general public, or you, the educated but not in scientific fields, you have a choice. Will you believe the Bible, or will you believe Mr. Professor in some university? Faith in God or faith in man? It's your choice. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, it says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. I was reading Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah chapter 47 speaks of the destruction of the Babylonian kingdom. God had used the Babylonian kingdom to bring judgment upon the children of Israel. But now God was going to bring judgment on the Babylonians. And it says in Isaiah 47 and verse 10 that the knowledge of the Babylonians perverted them. Look with me at this verse in Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 10. What was one of the things that led to their destruction? It was their wisdom, their human wisdom. It says in Isaiah 47:10, For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, None seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Isn't that the attitude of man? Isn't that the pride of man? Man has become so proud on themselves that we think, I am and there is no one else. There's no one else to answer to but myself. But the God of the Bible says, your wisdom and your knowledge, it has perverted thee. What is your faith in this morning? Is your faith in biblical creationism? The account of an omnipotent, omniscient God written in the Word of God? Is your faith in the intelligent design scientists who observe the complexities of life and believe there's a designer behind it but do not name the designer? Is your faith in chance or naturalism? Than to be consistent with your faith just by lottery tickets. Just by lottery tickets. And faith system number 4, it's faith in scholarship. Not faith in what you've seen or what you've studied, but faith in what the PhDs say. Faith system number 5, I believe it kind of goes hand in hand with the last faith system, but it's faith in popular opinion. Faith in popular opinion. You know, there's a lot of people that say, I believe in evolution because that's what everybody believes. That's what is most popular. That is what the majority believe. Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, that from God's point of view, there is a different power working in this earth. There's a different power working in this world. In Ephesians 2, Paul is writing Christians. And he's talking about how they were saved out of the world. It says in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, And you, Ephesian Christians, hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. There's a lot of that 59% of Canadians that believe in evolution. That just believe in it because that's what everybody believes. Is that what your faith in is in this morning? Have you ever taken any time to think about where you came from? Or where the earth came from? Have you ever taken any individual time to think about where your existence began? Or are you just following along in the course of this world? That's what everybody else believes, so I'll believe it too. What is your faith in this morning? Faith system number 6 is faith in limited understanding. You know, there's some people when they're confronted with these questions, they find great peace in the answer, nobody can know. Nobody can know the answer to that. And because nobody knows, or nobody can know, I'm not going to worry about it. And they live their life nobody can know. It's faith and limited understanding. They're finding peace and protection in ignorance. Nobody can know, so I'm not going to worry about it. All I know is I need to eat breakfast today, I need to eat supper today, I need to go to bed today, I need to go on vacation next year, and nobody can know these big questions, so I'm not even going to think about it. Faith in limited understanding. But then lastly this morning, there are those who have faith in willing ignorance. You know, I really believe the evolutionist, the evolutionary scientist, is someone that has faith in willing ignorance. Because they've examined the facts, and yet they're going to tell the world that it happened by accident. I don't believe the intelligent design scientist is that off in their mind. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 14, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. I think you're a little bit smarter if you're willing to admit there has to be some God. But you're a whole lot smarter if you understand that this God, if He's smart enough to create the universe, He's smart enough to communicate. And if you don't want to accept the Bible, you have to explain away the Bible. You have to explain away Jesus Christ. You have to explain away all that He's done in this world. You've got to explain it away. But many people would just choose rather to be willingly ignorant. I don't want to know. I don't care to know. I don't want to think about it. That's what 2 Peter says. 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. You see, the Bible makes a claim that one day Jesus Christ will return. And it says here in verse number 4, 2 Peter 3 and verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. See, there are those that believe that the earth has just continued the same processes for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. That's what evolutionary theory is based on. You know, if they can't explain it, they add a billion years to it. And they think that'll help explain it. And they say these natural causes have just continued over and over again. But look what it says in verse number 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. You see, the Bible, in Bible history, we know that there was a time when the world became so wicked that God judged the world with a global flood. The Bible says in Genesis that the highest mountains were covered with water. The whole earth was covered with water. Creation scientists, they explain many of the fossil records with that background of thought. The world hasn't always continued the same. God brought judgment to this world once. And the Bible says in verse number 7, but the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. God says one day God is going to judge this world with fire. He judged this world with water. The geological record proves that. And one day God is going to judge the world with fire. But there are many that want to be willingly ignorant of Bible history. And they want to deny the second coming of Christ. Willingly ignorant. In what is your faith? Is your faith in the Bible? Is your faith in a God that you cannot know? Is your faith in pure chance? Is your faith in the wisdom of men? Well, I can believe them. They teach at UBC. After all, I can believe them. They have counted all of the stars. They know all of the DNA and every living organism. They have all the answers. I can believe them, surely. Baloney. They just know a little bit about a little bit. There's a lot of ladies in this room that have a PhD in parenting, and you know a whole lot more than some of those people in the university do. You just chose to invest your life in a different area of study. Then there's some that have faith in popular opinion. Well, that's just what everybody believes, so I'm going to believe it too. Then there's those that have faith in limited understanding. Nobody can know, so how can I know? And then there's faith in willing ignorance. I don't want to know. I don't care to know. I just want to live my life my own way. Don't anybody bother me. I'm my own boss. Faith in willing ignorance. In what is your faith this morning? And another question, do you know the God of the Bible personally? The God of the Bible, the God that created the world. The Bible says He created this world and He created us for His pleasure, to have relationship with Him. You know, the Bible doesn't just speak of where we came from. It speaks about how we can know God. And if you're here this morning and you do not have a personal relationship with God, and you do not know for sure that you will spend forever with God, in a moment we'll have an invitation. And if you'd like to know God personally, we can have someone take the Bible and explain to you from the Bible how you can be saved. Father, I do thank You today. Let's pray. Father, I thank You today for the Word of God. And I pray, Father, that those listening to this sermon would place their faith in the God of the Bible, and that they would come to Jesus Christ to know Him as their personal Savior.